good to see you. God did give us a good service Thursday night, and we thank the Lord for that. And the nine that got saved, that's worth the whole effort. But good fellowship, some good preaching, reminders of what we need to do. And Squire Parsons, singing like he did. He's a great Christian. He has leukemia, by the way. Pray for him. And he's still continuing to sing for the Lord. But I'm glad that most of you were able to be here, and we just had a great time. We're talking about fruit by the bushel and being rooted in Christ, deeply rooted in Christ for spiritual growth. Now, when should we stop growing as Christians? Never, until we are in the presence of the Lord, and then we won't have to worry about that, I don't think, then. But we need to continue to grow all of our lives in the Lord and get rooted deeper and deeper and deeper and produce more and more fruit and better fruit. Let's look at 2 John, if you will. 2 John. Go to Revelation and back up. Go to the end of the Bible and back up. If you don't have a Bible with you, there's some in front of you on the pews, back of the pews. And today we're going to deal primarily with being rooted in Christ's truth. Rooted in truth. And that's one of the ways we're going to have fellowship with God, if we have fellowship with Him, is in truth. Fellowship in truth. 2 John, and we'll be looking at these verses together in just a moment. We have a lot of variety today in our culture, don't we? A great deal of diversity, we call it. Some of it is very appealing, and we look at some of the different diversity of groups, and I'm talking about other nationalities, for instance, and we may like their clothing, the way they dress. A lot of times when our people come back from a missions trip, they'll come back with some of the clothing like they wear where they've been, whether it's Philippines or Guatemala or India or somewhere like that. And because they get a little intrigued with it for the time being, and they like that. Sometimes it's the ethnic food. For me, it's not often the ethnic food, but to some people, they pick up some of the food and they like that. And so they'll try to find a place around where you can eat some of that food here. One of the dangers, though, when we have diversity, and it's something we have to be careful about as believers today in our great diversity we have in our culture, is the danger of embracing the religions of other people. We have a lot of people that are bringing their religions with them into this country. We have just north of us in these apartments refugees from all over the world. And they still have their customs. They have their dress. If you go down there in that complex, you'll see every kind of different cultural dress codes and standards and all. And then if you talk to them, you'll find out a lot of them have different religions. And there's everything down there. And that's true all throughout our culture. But we have to be very careful that we don't get so intrigued that some people would get interested and take up some of their religious ways and get too interested in the diversity and embrace their religion. And some of our people are doing that. Maybe not so many in our churches, but a lot of Christians, so-called, whether they are or not, it's up to God, but they take on some of these other things because they want to be nice, they want to be kind, they want to be liked, and therefore they'll make statements like, well, I have my religion and you have yours and yours is okay and I respect yours. And there's a certain element of that respect we have to have, but truth is truth. And we have to tell the truth and believe the truth and share the truth. And our relationship, the most important relationship we have, should not be with other people in our culture, but our most important relationship, and you already know it, is our relationship to God. And our relationship to God affects every area of our life, whatever it may be. Any area of our life, it it's going to be impacted by what is my relationship to God and what is my relationship to truth in God. So we have truth. We have it in the Bible. What do we do with truth? Truth is a good word, isn't it? Truth. I believe in truth, and my fellowship with God is in truth. And so what are we going to do with truth? Well, what we do with it today affects our eternity, and also it affects a lot of people as far as eternity in hell. What we do with truth has an impact on other people. And so we need to listen to Jesus and see what He is saying and what He says about truth. 1 John also is all about truth and fellowship and truth as well as love and some of these other areas. But in John 17:20, Jesus said, "Neither pray I for these alone." This is a prayer that Jesus prayed for His disciples. And He said, "I don't just pray for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on Me through their word." And then in that chapter, you read that whole chapter, and you'll find that Jesus is praying for our effectiveness. He's praying for our faithfulness, that we would be faithful as children of God, and all of that. But it has to do with our relationship to truth. For instance, in John 17:17, we'll come back to our text here, so don't leave that. But in John 17:17, He says, "Sanctify them through Thy," what? Truth. And then He reminds us, "Thy word is truth." Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth. Now, the word sanctify has the implication of growing them through truth. Growing us up through truth. Sanctify. Set us apart. Grow us in progressive sanctification. So in 2 John here, John is speaking of this truth. Now, we see the elder unto the elect lady. The elder is John. The elect lady, some people believe that there was a lady, a literal lady, who had church in her home and invited people there for church. And John is talking to her, the elder unto the elect lady and her children. And he said, I love them in what? Whom I love in truth. So John is warning them against false teachers. And there were a lot of false teachers in that day. They were all around. And especially in Asia Minor, which it would be today, the present day, it would be Turkey. So there was this false teaching that was going on. The Gnostics, as they were called, G-N-O-S-T-I-C-S. These Gnostics put a great emphasis on education and on knowledge and the material world. And they didn't have much emphasis at all or any respect for the spiritual world that Christians live in. And so to them, knowledge was supreme. Now, John is writing to her and saying, let's love the truth. I admire you and your family. You as a Christian lady, and the emphasis that you are going to have, and that is truth. And you need to be on guard and be careful about it, because there are a lot that don't want to share the truth. They'll share a lie. So, number one, we want to look at our relationship to the truth. Our relationship to the truth. The church comes together. We come together because of truth. If we didn't have truth, we wouldn't have any reason to come together. And we come together as a local body of believers because of truth, the truth of the Word of God. It isn't about people so much. It shouldn't be about the buildings so much. It shouldn't be about our culture so much, what we like. But we ought to be bonded together by truth. Truth is so important. And that's what should bond us together. And it is our bond, as he says it in verse 1. The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth. And not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. He says, I love you because you believe in the truth. And all the people that believe in the truth, I love them too. We are people that are people of the truth. Now, a lot of times we have social bonds. There are people who get together and like each other. It doesn't mean they're a clique. It just means sometimes they have likes together. They may all like Mexican food, or they may all like some other kind of food, or two or three kinds of cuisine, and so they'll call each other and get together and have some food. I had some food with some folks yesterday, one of my favorite foods, some heaven chicken and mashed potatoes and green beans and corn and biscuits, and finish up with sorghum and molasses. Now, that's a good reason to get together. So if you want to get together with me on that, that's fine. Sometimes it's hobbies. Sometimes it's educational background. But for believers, the main thing that should pull us together is truth. The thing that bonds us, glues us together, is truth. And there are two cords to that. One of them is love. And that bonds us together. And it's love that is based on truth. Love based on truth. That's a deeper love than this surface emotional love, this temporary type thing. It is a deep love that we have for each other because we believe in truth, and it brings us together. And also the second cord is discernment. Love and discernment. We need those two. Discernment is very, very important. And so we need to discern what is truth. God's love is based on truth for us, not performance. He loves us. It's not our performance that causes Him to love us, but it is based on truth. 1 John 4:10, herein is love, not that we love God. That's not the key to it. But that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. So he's love, and he loves us because of that truth. We are brought together. Romans 8:38-39. I'm persuaded, neither depth nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from what? The love of God. The love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. In truth. The love of God we have in truth. And that is part of it. And then, of course, discernment. Philippians 1:9-10. That cord says, in these verses, it's backed up, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more. Not just love. Now, watch it. Everybody's talking about, we just love one another, and that's all we need to do. Just love one another and get together in a church, and love is the main thing. But watch what he says. This I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Jesus Christ. It's more than just having a feeling of love like a butterfly in your stomach. It has to do with truth. And we have to discern truth more in knowledge and in all judgment. Approve things. Prove things. So God tells us, we need doctrinal discernment. What do we believe? And doctrinal discernment is the glue that holds us together. Acts 2:42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and the breaking and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Part of that whole fellowship and being together was first the apostles' doctrine. Doctrine is the teaching of what was delivered to the church. The important teaching, the doctrine, what do I believe? And all other bonds are temporal, they're temporary, and they are very, very weak. But the bond of truth is strong, and it's the bond that holds us, discernment and love. Now, in truth, there is no diversity. Truth is truth. Anything that's not truth is not truth. There's no diversity. Well, a little truth here, your truth. A little truth here, my truth. A little truth over here, your truth. Somebody else's truth. No. Truth is truth, period. That's it. And that's what we get out of the Word of God. It is singular, it is supreme, and it is right. It is truth. John 14:6, Jesus said unto him, not I am one of the ways, I'm one of the truths. But he said clearly, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And people don't like us for saying that nowadays because of diversity. We're going to hurt the Muslims' feelings if we say that. We're going to hurt the Hindus' feelings if we say that, or those who believe in Shintoism or whatever it may be, whatever the religion may be. We don't want to hurt their feelings. But Jesus said, and I see the looks when I say that when I'm preaching a funeral and I say there's only one way to heaven, and you can almost see, sometimes you see somebody punch somebody. You would be surprised what I see up here during funerals. And they'll look at each other and sort of smile like, yeah, there he goes. But that's what Jesus said, amen? See, it's what Jesus said. And so that's what we believe. And it is our strength, verses 2 and 3. Look at it. For the truth's sake, 2 John, for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Grace be with you. Mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and in love. In truth and in love. And so that's our strength. In truth. Verse 2. It's from the Greek word aletheia. That's the Greek word. And it means, and I'll give you the exact meaning of it, objectively, what is true in any matter under consideration according to the truth. What is truth in any matter under consideration according to truth? And truth never changes. Culture changes. And our culture is changing. The truth about homosexuality, and it's at the forefront, so we might as well talk about it, goes back to Genesis and Sodom and Gomorrah, and God destroyed them. And you remember the angels came to that house and God's men invited them in Genesis 19:18 along there. And they were invited in. And here came all of these homosexuals from all parts of the city, it says. And they came there and they said, we won't let those men come out here. We want to know them. And they were talking about a sexual activity with them. We want to know them. He said, do not this such an evil thing. Don't even do this. And he talked about how evil it was. And on we have what God says about it in Romans 1 and Romans 2. And that's why we don't back down. And that's why we believe truth is truth. I don't care what the Supreme Court says. I don't care. They got five liberals and four others. And it's a liberal court because of that. And I don't care what they say. God doesn't change His word. The truth is the truth. And we have to stand on the truth. And I don't apologize. I'm not trying to be a smart aleck, but I don't apologize to anybody for that. Because it's the word of God. We stand on truth. And it never changes. And so He talks about the truth. And He talks about dwelleth in that verse. That truth that dwelleth in us. The word dwelleth is from the Greek word meno, and it literally means to remain, to abide. So we remain there and we abide in that truth. And that truth does not leave us. It doesn't leave us. We have it. We remain in it. We abide in that truth, and that truth doesn't leave us. Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord, I don't change. I change not. God is immutable. He does not change. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And doesn't matter what the culture says. Truth is eternal for us. And we need to not only study the truth, but we need to practice the truth. And He's telling us that that's what it should have value to us. And it does have eternal value. Don't compromise the truth just to be kind. Don't compromise the truth just to be hospitable to somebody. We're afraid we're going to offend them. We might say something like this, these are really good people, and I can help them if I won't be so dogmatic about my own beliefs. That's not true. You don't have to be hateful or mean, but you don't compromise and do that. And he's talking about the elect lady, and he says, you hold to truth. And then in verse 3, he says, grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. And so grace and mercy comes to us. And grace and mercy is something that should motivate us. I receive the grace of God, the mercy of God. And when I know where that's come from, it's come from God. It's grace and mercy. That should motivate me to say, I'm going to stand for the truth. And I desire to stand for His truth because I'm motivated by His love and grace and His mercy. Then secondly, and I'll have to hurry, our responsibility with the truth, verses 4 through 8. And they're threefold, and we'll just be able to barely touch on them. Verses 4 through 8, where he says, I rejoice greatly that I found in thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. And so we have the responsibility. Three things in verse 4, he says, walk in the truth. Rejoice greatly that I found of thy children doing what? Walking in the truth. Not just believing through. You know, we have a lot of people that claim to be saved and Christians, but they just don't want to get deep into it. They just want to stay on the surface. And he says, don't just believe the truth, but walk in the truth. Walk in it. It is true, therefore do what it says. And it ought to be believed and then lived out. It ought to be fleshed out in our lives. The truth, believe it. And it's more than just Sunday morning and coming and opening our Bibles a little while and putting them on the shelf or in the back of the car up on the by the windshield. But it's Sunday hearing the truth, Monday through Saturday living out the truth as well as the Lord's Day. And doing what God says. We need to walk in the truth. And that's a purposeful choice. How do we do that? Well, very quickly, we read the Word of God. And I have many verses. I don't have time to read them. But in Deuteronomy 17, God told the kings, He was telling them that they needed the truth. If a king's going to lead right, he needs the truth. And if our president would take this book right here, and our vice president and our secretary of state and our Congress would take this book, the truth, and live by the truth and promote the truth, then they would lead our country in the right direction. And things would be a whole lot better if they taught the truth and lived out the truth. Now, sometimes we're so busy in our schedules, we have everything in the world, sports and seminars and social obligations and all kinds of things. Even church can be thrown in there too. But we don't have enough time, we think, to study the Bible every day. Let me tell you what it is. It's not a lack of time. Listen to me now. It's a lack of heart. When the heart's right, you're going to find time to read the Bible, even if you have and have prayer, even if you have to put it on some other things on a shelf. God's going to have priority. It's not a lack of time. It's a lack of heart. Robert Chapman made this statement, a 19th century preacher. He said, the great cause of neglecting the Scriptures is not want of time, but want of heart. Some idol taking the place of Christ. Some idol taking the place of Christ. And that's so true. What gets between you and the Bible? Is it television, videos, Netflix? Is it hobbies? What is it? We've got to spend time in the Word of God to know the truth. And that's what sets us free. And so we need to read God's love letter. And then we need to study the Word of God. And then we need to memorize the Word of God and pray for an understanding of the Word of God. Ask the Holy Spirit to teach you The psalmist didn't know everything there was to know about the Scripture. He cried out to the Lord that He would reveal things to him. And so the Holy Spirit has been given to illuminate the Word of God to us. And then we need to apply, as I said, the Word of God, flesh it out and apply the Word of God in our lives. And then we need to witness. We need to walk in the Word of God. We need to witness. Verses 5 and 6 speak of that. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after His commandments. This is the commandment that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. What is that? Love. Walk in love. We should be witnesses. And one of the best ways we're going to witness is to walk in love. Love is the litmus test. John 13:34-35. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. Jesus said, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples if you tithe. No, I'm sorry, I misread that. If you'll have love one to another. I think you ought to tithe, but that's not the hallmark. That's not the main thing. We need to love one another and show that love to a lost and dying world. Not a compromising love. Love never compromises the truth. And so we have harmony. We need to have harmony with our mate, harmony, and help people out with financial needs when they have financial needs, our brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to forgive one another if they get our parking place in the parking lot out there and we were headed for it and they cut us off and we don't need to stay mad at them. We need to love one another. And that's what witnesses to that, not a temporary love. And then we need to warn people, verses 7 and 8, about the deceivers. Many deceivers are entered into the world. That was back then. And the Greek word is planos, P-L-A-N-O-S, and it literally means misleading, leading into error, a vagabond, tramp, imposter, corrupter. And there are many people like that, many false teachers out there just like that. And today their doctrine is false. For instance, the Jehovah's Witnesses, they teach that Christ is not the eternal God. You say, well, they've got a building and a steeple, and they talk about God and all that. That doesn't mean anything, dear friend. They are people who pervert the truth. And then Mormons teach that Christ was a man who maybe finally became God. That's at least part of their teaching. Muslims deny that God ever had any son. They clearly say that Jesus is not the Son of God. That He is not the Son of God. And many other religions and sects today deny the deity of Jesus Christ. And so we need to reveal who they are, know who they are. And they're very able to fool people. And they're very gifted at deception. But there are some questions we should ask them. If they come around, ask them this question. Who do you believe Jesus Christ is? Number one question. Who do you believe Jesus Christ is? If you can't get past that one, you just need to witness to them, tell them how to be saved. That's about it. Don't bid them Godspeed. Do you? And then you might ask, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God? That He came to this earth, He was born of a virgin, He lived a sinless life, He was buried, crucified, buried, died, and arose, and is coming again. And that He was truly the Son of God. If they say no, then say bye-bye. 1 John 2:23, whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. And then the third main point, and we'll just touch this, our reward in the truth. Verses 9 through 12, he tells us that there's reward in the truth. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any other to bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Now, having many things to write unto you, verse 12, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face that our joy may be full. He said, I'm not just going to write about it. But I have a relationship, we do, that is eternal. Verse 9 talks about that. And we abide in the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, that word meno is teaching that we abide. Now, there are a lot of churches out there that say, let's just love one another. And they have a great big emotional love feast every Sunday. They have no doctrine. They have no teaching. They don't even teach you many times how to be saved. But we have an earthly fellowship that God gives us, and we need to recognize what that is. And again, that is determined by our discernment. So it's not a good idea to expose yourself to false teaching. Our fellowship is in truth, always in truth. And love always presents the truth, like Jesus did. Now, we have a responsibility. Let me close that as quickly as I can. And that is for truth and to be bound together with it. And if we're not bound together in truth, we're not rooted in Christ. If we're not rooted in Christ, we're not going to dig deeper and we're not going to be rewarded with this kind of fellowship. And there's no substitute for the blessings in truth that are when we're rooted and grounded in the Word of God and truth. Then we're bound together in that fellowship. But it's always not in just love, but in truth. Love always presents the truth. Jesus was love, and He said, I am the truth. Father, help us to be students of the Word, know the truth that sets us free from false doctrine, and help us to walk in the truth, live in the truth, and share the truth. In Jesus' name, amen.